Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. A new way to eat today on Advanced. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Simon, and you are joining me in the studio today with my co-host, Garrett, to talk about a newsworthy clip. This newsworthy clip, of course, is the second for the month of August, meaning the second of three newsworthy clips, not August 2nd, and it is titled Reinventing Dinner Plates. Garrett, why are we reinventing dinner plates?
Howdy, Simon. Hello, listeners. I don't know. I feel like my dinner plates work just fine. I don't feel like I need to reinvent them.
I'll tell you, sometimes normal things that you wouldn't think were likely to be reinvented get reinvented in ways that are fairly positive. Like when I was a kid, we had two options for little kid shoes. One was Velcro, which of course is, you know, those sticky kind of strips that you put over and then they make that sound when you open them up.
I loved those as a kid. Yeah.
That's right. But there were some negative aspects, like they got dirty, they kind of wore out, things like that, right? The other option, of course, was laces. You had to tie your shoelaces. But now there are many more options for little children. I noticed with my own children, you know, there's slip-on shoes as one option where they kind of have an elastic that stretches the shoe. There's also those ones where you turn a thing and it tightens a cable that tightens the shoe. Oh, I know. There's so many things. But, you know, one of the things I noticed with my kids was this delayed the age at which they had to learn how to tie shoes. So you and I probably would have been tying our shoes, you know, maybe even before kindergarten. Or at the latest
probably around
kindergarten. Around
then. Yeah, I remember I had a lot of stuffed animals as a kid.
Yeah.
And there was one, it was shaped like Mickey Mouse. And it had all these weird things on its like clothes and shoes to help me as a kid practice things like
buttons.
Buttons.
Grommets.
Velcro.
Yeah.
Tying shoes.
Yeah.
And it was very helpful.
Yeah. It was an essential skill.
Yeah.
Then they reinvented the child shoe. I guess they added other things like blinky lights, which were not very common when we were kids.
I had those when I was a little kid.
Oh, the little kid's squeaky shoes were added at some point where they every time they take a step, they go...
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's a bit annoying. But nonetheless, the point being things that are fairly mundane, you could say, sort of commonplace and routine can be reinvented to create an advantage for someone who likes it. So today, we're looking at a similar sort of reinvention. This time, it's for the dinner plate. You had something you wanted to say beforehand. You know, I asked, why on earth would you reinvent the dinner plate? And you said you had made a realization because of this article that was America-specific.
Yeah, I don't know about other places. So today, we're not talking about just any dinner plates that, like, I might use in my house, but specifically disposable dinner plates. Now, these are not something we used too much growing up, except when we had a lot of people over and we really didn't want to wash the dishes.
Yeah.
So normally, these would be paper or styrofoam. I think our family would have gone with paper most of the time. And of course, it can be a bit of a waste to go through that many.
Now, we were discouraged for many years from using disposable plates. The main reason being they create a lot of trash.
Yeah. And right? So we almost never used these in our house growing up, except on like special occasions.
Yeah.
Like an outdoor barbecue would be a great example.
But even then, we frequently use plates that you just wash. You know, like North Americans added the dishwasher to many normal kitchens so that the washing of the dishes was easier, right?
Right. I think the reality of life in America is there are still a lot of people that don't like washing dishes. They feel like their life is busy or they have a lot of children.
Yeah.
And so they rely heavily on these disposable plates. And so in this way, we're reinventing that small part of the market.
So we're not really talking about changing the North American table setting, like getting rid of the plate and introducing a plate bowl combo or something.
No.
We're talking instead about
the new spork.
Like a new technology in disposable dishware.
Right.
Excellent. Let's do our first reading, shall we? Listeners, if you have your magazine, open it up and join us. If you don't have the magazine, think about getting one. It's an easy way to support us at Advanced Radio, and it helps your learning. But without further delay, let's do that first reading.
Reinventing dinner plates. Ellie Gaselli was on a plane back to the U.S. from Sydney when he spilled red sauce on his new phone. The phone still had its screen protector on, so he just peeled it off and the red sauce was gone. At this very moment, an idea popped into his head. What if you could peel off your dinner plate in a similar way? Gaselli, who lives in New Jersey, is now the founder and CEO of Peelware, a company that makes disposable, peelable dinnerware that is biodegradable and compostable. Plates come in stacks of 15, meaning that you eat on the top layer, peel it off, and compost it when you're done. Then, eat anew on the next layer, the 14th, and then the next layer, the 13th, and so on. This reduces the need for single-use plastic plates, which are wasteful and often end up in a landfill.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Campbell, for that reading. We're looking forward to hearing you more on the radio. So, what was that name, Garrett? Ellie Gaselli?
Ellie Gaselli.
Gaselli. Yep. Ellie Gaselli. This is a man, because we use the pronoun he throughout. Mm-hmm. I actually thought, when I hear the name Ellie, I usually think it is a girl's name, but that's really thinking in a very English kind of way.
Right.
This language, this name is probably not an English name.
It sounds a little more Italian, though. Who knows? Ellie is sometimes just another pronunciation for something like Eli. We're not totally sure.
Nonetheless, throughout this article, you will definitely see the use of the pronoun he for Ellie. So we know that Ellie is a man. Ellie was on a plane, it tells us, back to the U.S. from Sydney, which of course is in Australia, when he spilled something mysterious. What did he spill?
Red sauce. What kind of sauce? Is it ketchup? Is it like a tomato pasta sauce? We're not totally sure.
French salad dressing? I guess that's orange.
I don't know if that would be red. Maybe.
Nonetheless, this sauce was red. I guess that's bad, particularly if you're spilling it onto something white. Usually,
yeah.
Right?
Thankfully, it was on his new phone and not like some white pants.
That's right. And more to the point, because it was his new phone, he hadn't really unpeeled something yet.
Mm-hmm.
The protective cover.
Right.
And so when he spilled the sauce on it, he just peeled that cover off and, whoa, eureka.
An idea popped into his
head. Idea. Yeah. That's the word we say when we get a new idea, right?
Right. Eureka.
Eureka.
A city in California as well.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the classic story of a new invention. Something happens in someone's life and they realize they can fix this problem by designing something new.
Excellent. And so this idea, it was more than just an idea. It turned into a product. Now, it took a couple of years for that to happen, but we find out that now Gaselli lives in New Jersey. Actually, he may have always lived in New Jersey, but he is in New Jersey, and he is now the founder and CEO of a company. And what is it called?
It is called Peelware. Of course, we learned in that first paragraph that this new dinner plate has to do with peeling something off. That's where the peel comes from. And that part, ware there, comes from something like tableware.
Yeah,
or the things you use at the table.
Silverware, right?
Yeah.
These things, these tabletop tools, if you will. Now, the peel, of course, that's the action of taking the top layer off. So a very descriptive company name. It tells us that the company makes disposable, peelable dinnerware that is biodegradable and compostable. Would you say compostable the way I did?
Yes, I would.
You would. Nice. What's the difference between biodegradable and compostable?
Well, I would imagine that most of the time, if something is one thing, it's also the other.
Okay.
But the basic idea, if it's biodegradable, it's something that can kind of break down naturally in nature.
That's right.
Is the idea, maybe things like bugs or bacteria help break it down?
Compost specifically is something that breaks down into material you can use for fertilizer or improving soil. So there is some difference. Like, I'll give you an example. You cannot compost meat most of the time.
Really?
It kind of taints your compost, makes it stink, attracts bugs, all kinds of things like that.
Doesn't everything in the compost stink?
Well, no, there's varying degrees, I suppose. But nonetheless, you would say meat is biodegradable, but it's not necessarily compostable.
At the very least, it's not what you should be putting in your compost.
Exactly. So there is some difference here between these two, but these plates are both. So they squarely sit in both of the categories. It tells us that the plates come in stacks of 15. Now, that's basically just like paper plates, right? When you buy them in the store?
Yes. Yeah. These are a little different, though. They're not 15 individual plates necessarily, though.
It's each plate is a stack of 15,
right?
So it's 15 layers on the plate. Now, do you buy an individual plate? Maybe you do.
I've looked this up on their website. You can get kind of sets of a few of them. You can get a whole box of them if this is something you're going to be using daily.
Okay. Nonetheless, the point here being that when you normally buy paper plates, you buy a set of 15 because then you have 15 plates that you can use on 15 occasions. In this case, you buy one plate that can be used 15 times because it has 15 layers.
Yeah, that would be one of the limitations of this, is that at any one time, only one person can use that stack of 15 instead of many different people.
Huh. It goes on to tell us that this means you eat on the top layer, not eat the top layer. You don't eat the top layer. It's not edible. It's just compostable and biodegradable. But then after you've eaten on that layer, you peel it off and compost it when you're done. Now, do we compost here? I think we do, right?
Here in Taiwan? Yeah.
Yeah.
On the island, normally when you go out to throw your trash out, there's a bin for
your food scraps.
Compostable food scraps.
Yeah. So that's where you would put this because, of course, it's covered in food after it's been on your plate, right? So you put it in the compost, okay? And then what do? You save the plate. And you eat on it next time.
Yeah, you hope that somehow your food hasn't dripped onto like the sides and the other layers in some way.
Yeah. And if that is the case, then you save it and eat again. So the next time you eat on the 14th layer and then you eat on the 13th layer and so on. This reduces the need for single-use plastic plates. Oh, we've been talking about paper plates, but it is true there are a lot of plastic plates. There's another kind you mentioned.
Styrofoam.
I'm surprised we still have those, actually.
Yeah, those seem even worse for the environment.
They're kind of puffy foam plastic kind of stuff,
right? When they break apart, they can be hard to clean up.
But they don't drip.
Sure.
I guess that was the big thing, right? And they protect you from heat.
Yeah.
So that was a very nice feature of them, I guess. Nonetheless, these are less wasteful than those other kinds of plates that often end up in landfills.
So as we get to this point, we've talked about removing those layers. Now, there's an issue that came to my mind immediately, and I didn't get the answer to it until I went on the website. I don't know if you see the same issue.
Tell us, Garrett.
All right. You're eating, you peel a layer, you eat, you peel a layer. It's getting thinner and thinner. How does it still have structural integrity
by the end? Like a paper towel by the time you get to the last layer?
The truth is, it has a hard kind of foundation that all of those layers are on.
Oh.
So it's still structurally sound even by that last layer.
So you still basically have the same amount of trash you had before. It's just you're using it 15 times.
And that like harder foundation layer, I don't know if you can compost that layer.
Yeah. But you still, before you'd use 15 plates.
Right.
And this time you have one plate and 15 layers, 14 layers. So there's definitely an improvement in the amount of waste. Okay, excellent. Let's move on to our second reading. Campbell, take it away.
The concept is also more sustainable than the typical plant-based disposable plate because it uses even less material per plate, considering one plate is basically as thin as parchment paper. The leak-proof material, which took 3 years to develop and is now FDA approved, feels a bit like parchment paper, but it's more pliable. And each layer is made of plant-based wood pulp and sugarcane with a sand-based coating. There is no wax, plastic coating, or PFAS, forever chemicals, which some parchment paper is treated with. PureWare plates are made by compressing layers with a hydraulic press. Gasali explains that there are no additive layers or glues between each layer. What holds them together is simply 12 tons of pressure, as well as a cleverly designed edge that folds down to prevent layers from coming apart. Convenience has long fueled the American market. By some estimates, the U.S. disposable tableware industry was worth $10 billion in 2025 and is showing no signs of slowing in the near future. While plastic ruled the industry for years, many brands are now rushing to make more sustainable alternatives.
All right. Thank you, Campbell. So at the beginning of the second reading there, it told us that the concept here they're referring to, of course, is the peelable plate. It's more sustainable than the typical plant-based disposable plate because it even uses less material per plate. So that's a re-emphasis of what we were saying. But a quick question for you, Garrett. When they say plant-based disposable plate, what are they talking about?
Well, it is the materials used to make it come from plants, which is always an interesting way to put it because things made of paper are technically also made of plants.
Yeah, that's true. But I suppose one of the things I appreciate about you mentioning styrofoam is that, you know, styrofoam has largely disappeared from, the Western world anyway.
Yeah,
because it was an environmental bad guy, basically.
The main time I see it is in, like, shipping large amounts of, like, frozen things.
Yes, but I don't know if you remember this. They switched. So they stopped making those out of plastics, basically, and started making them out of cornstarch.
Interesting.
I don't know. When that happened, I remember people kept popping them in their mouths because they would, like, melt in your mouth. Like,
ew.
Like just cornstarch. It was like a weird thing to do, but people were testing them to see if they had the cornstarch ones all the time.
Weird.
Definitely plant-based, though.
Yeah.
So we're not only talking about paper plates, necessarily. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the alternative.
Yeah.
Which were already being marketed as more environmentally friendly than the plastic.
Yeah.
So this is sort of a more environmentally friendly than the environmentally friendly option. That's kind of what they're suggesting, right? Okay. Now, you mentioned before that you could peel it off and throw it away and keep the plate provided it wasn't all wet and stained from something.
Yeah, presumably. I don't know if that's a huge issue. Maybe you can just rinse it off.
Well, they have clearly tried here because it tells us at the beginning of the next paragraph that these layers are leak-proof.
Yeah.
I presumably meaning your red sauce does not leak through the top layer and stain all the other layers, so you always have a stain on your plate, right? It's a leak-proof material which took 3 years to develop and is now FDA approved. What is FDA?
It's a group within the U.S. government that approves certain things for sale and gives the stamp of approval to say that they are safe for your health.
Exactly. It's short for, I believe, Food and Drug Administration. So
correct.
They sort of make sure that things that fall under the food and drug categories are safe for people. This leak-proof material obviously is safe because it's been approved. And it feels a bit like parchment paper. Now, parchment, when I think of parchment, I think of like very thin tissue paper kind of stuff, right? Mm.
Usually, I think parchment paper is a bit thicker than tissue paper.
You think it's thick?
Yeah. Normally, it's a brown color. You might think of it as something you use in the oven or to like wrap a sandwich at a sandwich shop.
The place you see this word all the time is when we're talking about ancient documents, right? Like you find an ancient parchment from Egypt or something like that. So presumably, this is kind of a rough paper material.
Somewhat, yeah. It's something I would use in my house in the oven.
Okay, so it feels maybe we could say like rough paper, but it's more pliable. So if you have a parchment, you know, like an ancient document, obviously you can maybe roll it up, but you certainly can't fold it and squish it because you'll crack it and break it.
Yeah, it can break.
But here, this material is pliable, which basically means it can be manipulated, folded, kind of scrunched up more without breaking or being damaged, right? On top of that, each layer is made of plant-based wood pulp and sugarcane with a sand-based coating. So wood pulp is basically chewed up wood.
Yeah, some sort of a pulp is like some sort of solids that are put kind of suspended in a liquid in order to make something. Like you need wood pulp in order to make paper.
Yeah.
That's part of the process. Yep.
Well, things like tissue too.
Yeah.
Often, right? Okay, so this wood pulp and sugar cane with a sand-based coating. Now, I suppose the reason they mention this sand-based coating is they say there is no wax, plastic coating, or PFAS forever chemicals, which some parchment paper is treated with. So all that to say, the whole thing is more environmentally friendly. One thing I would note here, often when we write an acronym for the first time, like FDA or PFAS, and then you see those little parentheses brackets behind it, they're basically going to write what the acronym means, and they don't in this article. So PFAS, P-F-A-S, does not stand for forever chemicals.
No, it's something like polyfluoro something.
Yeah, but they're not giving us that longer name. Instead, they're kind of explaining what it is in the parentheses there. And so basically they're saying, like we said before, this is all around more environmentally friendly. We then go on to see peelware plates, and there they're creating a contrast. We've seen this peeling term used a lot, but they're comparing it here to tableware or dinnerware. So this is specifically the one that you can peel. They are made by compressing layers with a hydraulic press. Do you know what hydraulics are?
It is, I believe, something that causes pressure through the use of water or liquids.
Yeah. Oh, you are good.
I try.
This is one of those words, listeners, that native speakers throw around without really having any idea what it means. Like,
yeah.
We have pneumatics. We have hydraulics. One uses air. The other one uses liquids. But the idea here being that it's a machine that is applying extreme pressure or power to something. In this case, it's pressing things under a lot of pressure very flat. It's then explained that there are no additive layers, so you're not adding anything between the layers or gluing them to hold them together. Instead, they're held together just by what, Garrett?
They're held together just by 12 tons of pressure. So it's amazing that they don't come apart. They stick together.
I imagine that has something to do with the sand-based coating.
Mm.
Just to make it a little rough so that you're some sort of have some friction to prevent it from just falling apart. I suppose this is being mentioned here because glue is frequently another source of chemicals that are not particularly environmentally friendly, right? Yeah. Okay. So more of an emphasis on the overall environmental friendly.
I imagine you also don't want to be eating a lot of that glue as you're eating your food off the plates.
Well, speak for yourself, Garrett. I grew up eating off plastic, you know? Yeah, there you go. It's got a cleverly designed edge that folds down to prevent layers from coming apart. Now, Garrett, you've actually seen these. They don't look like normal plates, right?
No, they're not like a normal round plate you might see at most dinner tables. They're sort of a rectangular shape, and they're not flat. They do kind of have a raised edge around the side that helps them stick together and helps the food stay on the plate.
And clearly the lip or the edge kind of folds down at the end so that, you know, you don't have liquid going from one layer to the next layer.
Right. And it seemed like there was sort of a tab on the side to make it easier to peel it off.
Okay. So you sort of grab this thing and then pull, and that peels it right off for you. Now, the next paragraph, which is actually the last paragraph here, it's the one that kind of blew me away, because until this point, I've been thinking to myself, like, what is the point of all this? Let's be honest. I've been thinking, why don't you just, you know, because we don't use disposable plates very often, right?
No.
But, you know, I guess people do, right?
People do.
Because you can see here, they're talking about how big this industry is.
Yeah, specifically around the American market. We see there right in that first sentence, convenience has long fueled the American market. Now, I would say in a lot of ways, the same thing is true of where we live now. It just it comes into play in different areas.
Yeah, like lunch boxes
yeah.
instead of plates, right? Plastic bags, mm-hmm. stuff like that. We do go through a lot of disposable stuff.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, this market in the U.S. is worth $10 billion U.S. dollars. That's 10 zeros behind that one.
Yeah.
That is a lot of money. And it's showing no signs of slowing in the near future. Obviously, this matches sort of North American lifestyles where people are busy, right? Mm-hmm. And so too busy to take care of routine household tasks, so more disposable, more quick solutions.
Yeah, I imagine this comes into play in a lot of households that have a lot of kids where the yeah. parents don't want to wash all those dishes.
And in particular, in addition to growth, the trend here is that brands are moving towards more environmentally sustainable. So that's what it tells us. Many brands are rushing to make more sustainable alternatives. So presumably, this company is well positioned for growth.
Yeah.
Watch out for it. You might find it in a store.
There's a market opportunity there. Yeah. Think about it. If you are in a real hurry, if you have a lot of kids, or I think the most sensible situation to me is if you have a big party.
Now, listeners, that brings us to the end of our time for today's newsworthy clip, but we'll be back again tomorrow. So until then, I'm Simon.
I'm Garrett.
Saying goodbye for now.
Goodbye.